So we're about to start the continuation. Why did Naomi speak about Shaddai? That's one of God's names. Because the word, that's a name that references Dai, that God creates finite limits in the world. And so what Naomi was saying is, I've had 10 years of suffering, and now I pray that Hashem, who is also has the name that connotes Dai, that He creates limits in life, He should create a limit, my suffering should end here. That's why she refers to Hashem with that name. Okay. Ule Naomi moda leisha. Naomi had a relative from her husband's family. Ish gibochayil mi mishpachat Elimelech. There was a man of valor from the family of Elimelech. Ushemo Boaz. His name was Boaz. Now here, let's just look at this chart so we can see it. We have Nachshon, the son of Aminadav, okay? We've all heard of him. He's the one that charges forth into the splitting of the sea. He has a son named Elimelech. So this Elimelech is a pretty amazing guy. He's the son of the man who caused the splitting of the sea, okay? He has a brother named Shalmon, whose son is Boaz. So Boaz is Elimelech's nephew. We have Ploni Almoni. And then you have Naomi's father. We don't know his name, and Naomi. So Naomi is Boaz's cousin. And Elimelech was Naomi's uncle. You have a mitzvah to marry a niece, right? They share Elimelech's father is Naomi's grandfather, right? Naomi's father is Elimelech's brother. So Naomi has a cousin named Boaz, right? Elimelech's children, Mahlon and Chilion, who married, Mahlon married Ruth. So Ruth married Elimelech's, her husband was Boaz's cousin. And Boaz is going to tell Ruth, I'm not first, I have an uncle. Tov, Ploni Almoni, he is first in line to marry you. You were married to Elimelech's son, so the first one to marry you is Ploni Almoni, is Tov. Okay? So again, Nachshon ben Aminadav has four children. One is Naomi's father, one is Elimelech, and one is Boaz's father, and the other one is Tov, Ploni Almoni. These four children, they're the first generation. Boaz is second generation. And that's why Boaz says, that relative comes first to marry you, Ruth. Okay, so that's what Naomi has a relative from Elimelech's family, even though he was also from her family. She has a relative named Boaz who is very learned in Torah. He has had a miserable life. He had 30 sons who all died. He had 30 daughters who all died. He had a wife who died, and there's nothing left. Boaz is an old man. What's so funny? Yes?
So it's not necessarily related to what the Rav just said, but seeing as it describes him, it says in my translation, you're a man of substance. So why did Naomi like go to him in the first place to, help with their...
Let's see. We'll see in a few minutes. It's a good question. Vatomer Rut HaMoavia el Naomi. I have a question. We have 25 minutes left. You guys wanted debt, which is fine. But I'm not sure we will finish the Megillah. I'm trying to answer your questions, and I'm trying to give you... So how many people want us to continue with depth? How many people want us to finish the Megillah even at the cost of depth? Okay, so depth it is, fine. Unanimous. We'll see. See, you got to get to bed. I got to get to bed. We have a late night tomorrow, right? Okay. Vatomer Rut HaMoavia el Naomi. Ruth the Moabite, the princess who is accustomed to all the wealth and luxury, tells her mother-in-law, Elchana Sadeva Lakata Vashibolim, let me go to the fields and collect stalks. She says, no one knows me. Everyone knows you. It's less shameful for me. Let me go. So Ruth asks her permission. They don't want to go to accept gifts from Boaz because they say, this is God-given. God entitled us. We're poor, and God entitled us to these gifts of the poor, the leket shikhapea, the different sections of the field. Why should we take from a human if we could take what we're entitled to? So, it's also possible that they didn't want to publicize how poor they were. They tried to keep a front that things were not as bad as they really were. So, Ruth says, let me go to the field, v'alaktav ha-shibolim, and I'll collect among the stalks. Achar asher emtzachin be'inav. By a person who I find favor in his eyes, who won't yell at me. Here we see that the generation was problematic. They were yelling at the poor. She was entitled to take this, but she wouldn't want to take something that someone didn't want her to have. And that's a concept we learn in Mishlei. Al tisba et lechem ra'ayin. Shlomo HaMelech said, don't satiate yourself from bread of someone who looks badly upon you. Sometimes a person will invite you to eat, but really they don't want to give you anything. They feel like they can't get out of it. So don't eat that food. And that's why Rus says, even though I'm legally entitled, I will only take from a field where they accept me and they really want me to take from there. Vatomer la lechiviti. So Naomi tells her, go, my daughter. Vateleich vatavo. She went back and forth because there were a lot of improper people around. She's a young woman and she has to take care of herself. So in order to ensure that she won't get lost, she goes part of the path and then goes back home, makes sure she knows her way. Then she extends it a little bit more and comes back. And then some more and then goes back. And here we see her responsibility. That she knows she could ask directions, but that's one of the ways to get taken, right? By asking directions. So that's why she doesn't want to have to ask directions. So she slowly extends her knowledge of the territory as she proceeds to the fields. Everyone else collects as they walk down the fields, and Rus goes to the end of the field and starts collecting so that when she has her hands full, she's already back at the entrance to the field. If she'd be collecting on her way in, then she'd have to carry all the heavy stalks back to the beginning. But she is vatelech, she goes to the end of the field, vatavo, and she collects on her way back. Intelligence. Vatilaket basadeh. She collects in the field. Acharei akotzerim. She's careful to be behind those that are harvesting. She shouldn't take what's not legitimately available. Vayiker mikreha. The words literally mean her coincidence happened. And what it's indicating is that here you have a special hashgacha that God was ensuring this coincidence would happen on her behalf. Yes? Which word is in the masculine? That's female. Vatelech. Vayelech would be male. Chilkat asadeh levoaz asher mimishpachat Elimelech. The portion was of Boaz from the family of Elimelech. The Medrash tells us a phenomenal line. The Medrash says, "Katav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dochkan Shel Rishonim." The Navi purposely recounts how difficult earlier generations had it. God wanted it recorded, down to the walking of Rus in the hot field. The fields of wheat are called Sde Lavan, a white field. Why is it called that? Because there's no shade. You're standing in the beating sun all day collecting food. And this was recorded, Lehodia lachonim, to let later generations know, Shafilu hem anihim heyu betochim bevoham. Even if they encounter poverty, they should have faith in their Creator. Very often we like to think that Abraham had it good, he was so rich. Yeah, Abraham had periods of extreme poverty. Yitzchak had it good. Yitzchak also had periods of poverty. Yaakov had it good. Yaakov had a daughter raped, a son kidnapped. No, the Torah repeatedly tells us the difficulties. No one had it smooth sailing. Everyone had their difficulties. King David. Rus. So the Navi tells us exactly, even walking through the field.
And behold, Boaz came from Beis Lechem.
He told the harvesters, may God be with you. This is our first indication that the rabbis instituted that you greet a person with God's name, like we do today. We say, Shalom Aleichem, may God whose name is peace be with you. Adonai, and they bless him back. They say, may God bless you, and may you merit to rebuild your house. Remember, Boaz is coming to work. That means a week has passed since he buried his wife. That means Pesach is over. He sat a week of Shiva, and now he's coming to the field to see what's doing. Yes?
What difficult time David had?
As a child, they looked at him as an illegitimate child. They said he was the dunce of the family. They wouldn't incorporate him in any family discussions. When they would have an important meeting, he was left out. They didn't even bother bringing him when Shmuel comes to meet the family. His brothers are in the army, and they scorn him and they mock him. He finally makes it to fame, and the king wants him dead. Afterwards, the king allows him to marry his daughter, and after he marries, the first girl he's supposed to marry is given to someone else to marry. So that's number one. Imagine, you know, he's anticipating his shidduch, the girl he's supposed to marry, and boom, on the day he's supposed to marry her, there's a wedding for someone else with that very girl. Then finally he gets the girl he's supposed to marry, and his father-in-law decides he's rebelling against the kingdom, tries to kill him twice, and then he has to go on the run. His father-in-law then takes his wife and gives her over to someone else because he finds a halachic loophole and says his wedding is null and void. As King David is on the run, he takes his family, he's scared for their safety. He entrusts them with the king of Moab, who has them all murdered. Just as David leaves, he has them all murdered. The Ammonite king saves one family member. Now David is completely alone. He has to spend the rest of his time on the run, wondering whether he's going to live or die, and repeatedly he's almost killed. Even his own tribesmen turn on him. Finally, he attains the throne. He has quarrels within his family. He has one son rape one daughter, and then another son murder that son, and then that son try to extend a rebellion against him, and then rape his concubines. I don't know, life was pretty tough on David. That was pretty hard. And everything we just said is in the text. It's not even Midrashim. Add Midrashim to that, and any one of those could destroy a person. We won't discuss that at the end of his life, the angel of death happened to swipe his sword on his cloak, so King David would spend the rest of his life shuddering and in cold fear, where he wasn't ever able to warm himself and calm down again. That's, you know, just the end, you know. That's yes. And that, again, is a verse in Chronicles. It's not a Medrash. It's a Pasuk in Divrei Hayam. Yes?
Let's say my brother marries a non-Jewish girl.
Wait, we can't do that. We got 15 minutes left.
Okay. My question is, how does Yibum apply to Ruth if she's not even Jewish?
You're 100% right. Hopefully we'll get there. You're 100% right. That's an excellent question. We will just say that it seems that the ancient custom of Yibum was more encompassing than the halachos of Yibum. You're right. You're 100% right. If we're going to say, that's why there's hardships on either side. If she converted, then it's unclear why Naomi would turn her away. How could you tell a person, go be a pagan once they converted? That's the hardship with saying she converted. If she didn't convert, then you have that hardship. Then where does Yibum fall into the story? Okay, you're right. That's a very good point.
It's Yibum not in the Jewish culture.
Oh, but we'll see, it is. The courts are going to rule on it. Let's see.
So Boaz says to the foreman, the lad who's in charge of all the people harvesting,
who is this young girl? Who's she with? She's dressed like a Moabite, but yet I see that when everyone else bends down, they bend from the waist down, and she bends at the knees. I see that she's modest in the way she bends. I see that she's never picking up three stalks that fall, because the halacha permits the poor to take two, and not three. I see that she's only taken from the areas where we already harvested, and I see that whenever there's a fight, she stays away. She's never going for the big kill, where everyone else is fighting to get the pay of the corner, where you have a large amount at once. She's staying away from the fights.
I see that she's going in accordance with halacha. She's modest, she's pious, she's intelligent, and she's different from everyone else. Who is that? Vayan hanar hanitzav al hakotzerim vayomar. Now, ordinarily, women wouldn't come out there. And anyways, she doesn't seem like she's a Jew. Now, the halacha is that we allow non-Jewish poor to take tzedakah. We don't discriminate. And it's even more than that. When you give out charity, let's say you're on a subway, and there are three poor people sitting there, two with a yarmulke and one without, you got to give all three. You can't discriminate and say, okay, I'm giving the Jews and not the non-Jew. That's a halacha in hilchos tzedakah. So Boaz says, is that a Jew? Who is she? What nation is she from? Nara Moaviyahi Hashavim Naomi Misadei Moav. So the foreman says, you're right, she's a girl that came from Moav, but she's converted. She is converted, she's come from the fields of Moav. Hashava, she has returned. We view Gerim as people who have returned. A Ger is a Choser Bitshuva. Right? You guys knew that? You didn't know that, right? The Gemara says, why is it that Gerim have financial hardship? Right? What does the Gemara say? Because God says, why didn't you come sooner? Very difficult Gemara. Okay, so, Vatomer, alaketanah vasehafti vaomarim acharei akotzerim. She said, let me go gather, I'll follow those harvesting. Vatavo vataamod. And she's been standing patiently watching what's going on here. Me'az ha'boker ve'adata. From the morning until now, ze'shita ha'bayit me'at. But she cares for her mother-in-law, so she brings home food. She stopped in the middle of the day, brought home food, and came back now. The only time, shivta ha'bayit me'at, the only time she's left is for a short time to take care of her mother-in-law, or... second answer, Shivta HaBayit, she's returned home me'at, a short time ago. Meaning, where is it home? In Eretz Yisrael. She's returned home. And that's a phenomenal concept, that even for a ger, coming to Eretz Yisrael is returning home. She's only come back home a short while ago. Vayomer Boaz el Rut. So Boaz goes over to Ruth and says to her, Hallo, Shamat Biti. Have you heard? Haven't you heard, my girl? Al Telechi Lilkot Bisadei Acher. Don't go to another field. Don't go to another field. Now in Tanakh, the word field can mean a field, or it can mean a religion. He's telling her, don't leave this field. I know life is tough on you. Don't go to another field. And it seems funny, but everyone needs that encouragement. One of the hardest times in a ger's life is after they did their gir. A person's working towards something, and I always say when people make a gir party, now you got to be prepared, it's going to be hard. Until now, you were working towards a goal. After the gear, almost every ger within the first year or year and a half after the gear has a full. And I always say, stay close to yeshiva, stay in touch, stay learning, because you want to have a soft landing. You're working up towards something. After you make it, you got to stay connected to yeshiva for another year, year and a half. It's usually within the first few months. Some people can hold out 6 months. Everyone has that drop. You know, you hit the high and suddenly, boom. How do you do that? Boaz comes and tells her, don't leave. I know it's tough. And it's tough. Everyone experiences it. Yes?
Can't the same be said of the average Chozer B'tshuva who's come into yeshiva and has taken on a lot and hit highs and then suddenly leaves and then...
No, it's different. Because a Chozer B'tshuva can grow incrementally and feel like he's growing.
Mm.
Whereas when a person does Giyu, he always feels like it's practice. He hasn't yet grown. And then suddenly one day... it's a, you know, it comes out of the mikveh and it's a, okay, restart. So it's a very big difference. It's like crossing the finish line, but it's not. It's crossing the starting line. That's exactly the problem. When a person finishes giur, he feels like I made it to the finish line. I worked to this day. But you work to your starting. Now you got to start working. I'm not denying the work it takes to get there. I'm just saying it's natural to have the feeling once you got there, I made it. You made it to start. You know? But that's very hard. You know, the feeling right away is, let me leave yeshiva. Yeah, I did it.
The Winston Churchill book.
What's the Winston Churchill?
It's not the end. It's not even the beginning of the end, but it might be the end of the beginning.
Ah, I didn't know that. Yes, sir. What? Very nice. So Boaz goes over and talks there. One of the things that always strikes me in this conversation is the confidence with which Boaz speaks there. Who are you? Do I know you? Sometimes in life, you're in a position of stability. It could be in a yeshiva. It could be in a shul. It could be in a college. Sometimes you've already been through this. You guys have experienced this where you're the 12th grader. And you look back at the 9th graders and those freshies, they don't know what they're doing. And they're walking down the hall and you see a guy panicking. He's supposed to make it to a class. And we always have two choices. We can watch and be bemused at that guy's how novice he is. But we were also there. Or we can step forward and say, here, let me show you, let me help you, let me tell you where to go. The Chafetz Chaim writes that that's the mitzvah of avtat ager. Like the Chafetz Chaim, you know, when I was a kid, I never met a ger. I went through all my childhood and then teenage years. And then I came to Israel and I remember the first time in my life meeting a ger. I was so excited, I ran and called my parents from a payphone. And back then it cost a lot of money to call home. It was an exciting thing. Wow, it was something I only learned about. And then I came to Mahon Meir. Okay, wake up call. What? My parents could get a lot of phone calls, right? But Boaz steps forward. Boaz comes over and says, let me tell you, don't get scared. And you guys also are going to have these opportunities, be it in shul, be it in yeshiva. Someone walks in, so the Chafetz Chaim writes, we don't have many opportunities to fulfill the mitzvah of Vavtem et Ager, to love the Ger. Okay, I'm saying Chafetz Chaim wasn't in Machon Meir. But the Chafetz Chaim says, how can we perform it when someone walks into shul and they don't know where to go, and they don't know where to sit, and they don't know where to find the sparim they need, and we walk over and help them, or when they walk into yeshiva and they don't know where to go, and we help them out, at least we're fulfilling the spirit of the mitzvah of loving the Ger, the stranger who walked in who doesn't know his way around yet. So Boaz steps forward. And he's talking to her. Listen here, my girl. Al telechi lilkot b'sadeh acher. Don't go harvesting in another field. V'gam lo tavuri mizeh. And don't pass from here. Stick to my field. V'chot idvakin im na'arotai. Stick with my girls. Boaz appreciates her valor. Boaz notices that she's walking behind the guys. So there are girls harvesting too. He tells her, stick behind the girls. She doesn't catch the nuance. At the end of the conversation, she's going to continue going behind the guys. And then the question is, how do you look at her? And this is a question that we often have in life. Someone comes, they're chozer b'tshuva, or they're a ger, and they don't know the nuances. You know, a person doesn't know. People can come and they'll be guests in your home. And suddenly they'll talk to your wife and they'll call her by her first name and you'll be feeling like a little uncomfortable. But maybe they don't know. You know, people don't know the nuances. And when you come from a certain culture, it's like you encounter this where people don't mean any harm. And Boaz is going to be patient with her and Naomi's going to be patient with her. And that goes back to the halacha we learned earlier. Be patient. The person's new at this. Einayich. Guys, this means if the guy behind you is standing Shmona Esrei, swaying back and forth, and his tzitzis keep smacking you in the back of the head, be patient. He doesn't know yet. He's, you know, his eyes are shut. He doesn't realize what he's doing. Slowly. So sometimes we're hard-pressed to teach him. Wait. Slowly, he'll get there. We're very often bothered. Yes, it bothers us. So what? Lot. People learn. Notice the nun. He's stressing the girls. You will keep an eye on how they harvest, and you walk behind them. And I already ordered the guys to leave you alone, do the way that works for you. Vitzamit. And when you'll be thirsty, v'alachti l'akelim v'shatit me'asher yishavun ha'nehrim. Drink from what the lads draw. Did you guys ever imagine Rav Eliashiv, Chacham Ovadia Yosef? Did you ever imagine how they did hachnasat ochim, how they took in a guest? You can look at these psukim and see that Boaz is factoring every need that Rus might have in the field. He's telling her where to harvest. He's telling her, don't worry, I told the guys to stay away from you. He's telling her, you're going to be thirsty out here in the field. So being a tzaddik doesn't mean separating oneself and having no concept what the world's all about. Being a tzaddik means I can factor what the other person's needs are and I can help them for real. Boaz is going to talk to her about every point, down to taking a nap in the shade, down to getting a drink. Where can you get a drink? Yes?
Why did he give her wheat? Like, not make her have to gather to the field.
Who said that's a help?
She's there for the wheat.
Right. But maybe it's good for her that she's getting her own. He's not getting her charity. She's taking care of herself. She's taking what she's legally entitled to.
Don't we see that later, that Boaz tells his people to drop like
that? We'll get there, right.
Even though he does give her special treatment over everybody else?
We'll see in a minute. He gives her special treatment, but he has a mitzvah over everyone else. Vavtem is hager. He has a mitzvah to help her more than everyone else. In a second, he's going to tell her. V'atipol al paneha v'atishtachu ha'otza. And she bows before him. V'atomer eilav. She says to him, Madua, why? Matzati chen b'einecha le'akireini ve'anochi nochriya. Why are you giving me preferential treatment? I come from an enemy nation. V'yan Boaz v'yomer lah. So Boaz answers her, he says, Ugeidu gad li. Told I have been told. What is he saying? Told I have been told. He says, the sages told us. What is she telling him? Vanochi nochriya. She says, you know, I'm from such an enemy nation that I can't even marry a Jewish guy. Now that I've really converted, like you said, an Orthodox conversion, and I understand the laws of the Torah, now I know I'm never going to be able to really marry the average Jewish guy. Maybe another convert like me, but I can't marry into a regular family. She says to Boaz, and Boaz answers her, "Hugeid hu gadli, told I've been told. I have a tradition that when God declared that the Moabites may not marry into the Jewish people, it was only the men, not the women. And here we see the piety of Rus when she converted." She thought she'd never be able to marry into a regular family. We're going to see she's going to marry into the greatest family and be the mother of the Davidic dynasty. But Boaz is now telling her, I have a tradition. Sure, you can marry into the Jewish people. So he tells her, told I have been told. Kol asher asit et chamotech acharei mohotishech. I heard of all the kindness you did for your mother-in-law after your husband died. You left your family. You left your father, your mother. And the country you were born in. She says, you know, you're doing kindness for me. I've never done anything for you. Why would you do that for me, mister? And he says, what do you mean? Your mother-in-law is my relative, and I've heard of all the kindness you did for her. She's my cousin, and you left your family. She says, you're doing kindness for me. I come from a nation that was the most cruel to the Jewish people. And he answers her, no, you're no longer from that nation. Now, vata'azvi, you have left your family. You have left Eretz Moladeteich. Leaving your hometown is more difficult than death. Boaz tells her, I know what Aliyah is like. It's not easy. You went from one edge of the world to the other. You went from Moabite territory being a princess there to coming to Israel and dealing with collecting charity here. You went from one extreme to the other. And I can't even pay you back from what you did. And so everything I'm giving you is nothing compared to what you deserve. And that's why he tells her, Yeshalem Adonai Paolech. But God is going to repay you for what you've done. Utehim askutech shilema. And believe me, your wages are going to be whole. Meim Adonai Elohei Yisrael asher bat lachsot tachat kenafav. God will repay you for that great deed that you've done to come and convert. And that's where we're going to have to pause right now.